using. Tattered running shoes, cords, a gray-white shirt that had seen better days, and over it a very expensive black leather jacket that hung badly on his tall, thin frame. The face was long and unremarkable, the eyes milky blue and so pale that the color seemed to seep into the whites, leaving just the pinpricks of his irises visible behind his heavy glasses. Lips full like a jagger, but pale, dry, and unsensual. Hair a dirty blonde. Quaid, Steve decided, could have passed for a Dutch dope pusher. He wore no badges. They were the common currency of a student's obsessions, and Quaid looked naked without something to imply how he took his pleasures. Was he a gay feminist Save the Whale campaigner or a fascist vegetarian? What was he into, for God's sake?
"You should have been doing Old Norse," said Quaid.
"Why?"
"They don't even bother to mark the papers on that course," said Quaid.
Steve hadn't heard about this. Quaid droned on.
"They just throw them all up into the air, face up an A, face down a B."
Oh, it was a joke. Quaid was being witty. Steve attempted a laugh, but Quaid's face remained unmoved by his own attempt at humor.
"You should be in Old Norse," he said again. "Who needs Bishop Berkeley anyhow? Or Plato? Or? It's all shit."
"Yes.
I've watched you in the philosophy class."
Steve began to wonder about Quaid.
"You never take notes, do you?"
"No."
"I thought you were either sublimely confident or you simply couldn't care less."
"Neither. I'm just completely lost."
Quaid grunted and pulled out a pack of cheap cigarettes. Again, that was not the done thing. You either smoked Gauloise, Camel, or nothing at all.
"It's not true philosophy they teach you here," said Quaid, with unmistakable contempt.
"Oh?"
"We get spoon-fed a bit of Plato, or a bit of Bentham. No real analysis. It's got all the right markings, of course. It looks like the beast. It even smells a bit like the beast to the uninitiated."
"What beast?"
"Philosophy. True philosophy.
It's a beast, Stephen, don't you think?"
"I hadn't..." "It's wild. It bites."
He grinned, suddenly vulpine.
"Yes, it bites,"
he replied.
Oh, that pleased him.
Again for luck.
"Bites."
Stephen nodded. The metaphor was beyond him. "I think we should feel mauled by our subject." Quaid was warming to the whole subject of mutilation by education.
"We should be frightened to juggle the ideas we should talk about."
"Why?"
"Because if we were philosophers worth, we wouldn't be exchanging academic pleasantries. We wouldn't be talking semantics, using linguistic trickery to cover the real concerns."
"What would we be doing?"
Steve was beginning to feel like Quaid's straight man, except that Quaid wasn't in a joking mood. His face was set. His pinprick irises had closed down to tiny dots.
"We should be walking close to the beast, Steve, don't you think? Reaching out to stroke, pet it, milk it."
What is the beast?"
Quaid was clearly a little exasperated by the pragmatism of the inquiry.
"It's the subject of any worthwhile philosophy, Stephen. It's the things we fear because we don't understand them. It's the dark behind the door."
Steve thought of a door, thought of the dark. He began to see what Quaid was driving at in his labyrinthine fashion. Philosophy was a way to talk about fear.
"We should discuss what's intimate to our psyches," said Quaid. "If we don't, we risk..."
Quaid's loquaciousness deserted him suddenly.
"What?"
Quaid was staring at his empty brandy glass, seeming to will it to be full again.
"Want another?"
said Steve, praying that the answer would be no.
"What do we risk?"
Quaid repeated the question.
"Well, I think if we don't go out and find the beast..."
Steve could see the punchline coming.
"Sooner or later, the beast will come and find us."
There is